Hey, this is Larry Nemechek, direct from Trekland, and you're listening to the Trekmate Podathon all day long.
Mr. Data, warp speed, please.
Hour 2.
Agree.
But we
Okay, and we're back.
Hello.
Nice little musical interlude for you all.
Yeah, just something so we can quickly run off and have a little bit of a break. So next up,
I was saying we're just like professional radio. We have like interludes and commercials and everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've put a lot of effort into making sure we could have a little bit of that was about 9 minutes, so we could quickly run off, grab a drink, and take a personal break, as it were. So yeah, we'll have those around about every hour.
Yeah, definitely. Oh,
hopefully Paul doesn't have to crawl there this time.
Oh yes, thanks for bringing that up.
I'm crawling. I'm walking.
I'm crawling.
So anyway, we're reviewing an episode now, are we?
But still, and also it gave us a good opportunity to get our next guest on, as we're going to be doing a real-time review of the TOS episode Shore Leave. We are joined by Tom Badley from Deck 8. Hiya, Tom.
Hello, Wayne.
How's it going?
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I just got my drink ready.
Good. You got your you're staying up now, Tom. You're the lunatic who's staying up for the whole 24 hours, aren't you?
I'm gonna try. Yes.
You're mad. Yeah. Even we're not that mad.
I'm Welsh. We're all mad.
Yeah, quite. Well, I'm part Welsh myself, so yeah.
Goes with the territory.
Yeah, it does.
Yep.
Oh, dude.
Loving your latest video, Tom.
Yes, I have to say.
That was fantastic. Tom, that was really, really professional work. So have you seen this, Matt? Tom put out a little, what would you call it, Tom? A little sort of homemade fan trailer for Star Trek London?
Yeah, a teaser trailer, more like.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a look
on Tom's...
Post
the link in the chat box.
Yeah, post the link in the chat box and have a look at this, Matt. This is fantastic bit of work.
Okay.
Tom, you are really talented. If you don't do this for a living, and I know you don't, then your talents are wasted. Because that was, I know it's a hobby, but honestly, mate, you did a really good job of that. It's really professional.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So yeah, Tom, if you post it in the chat link, and then everyone can have a look, it's fantastic. It really is.
Also, I've just thought, guys, we have as much as we've been asking people to make donations, we've not told them actually where to go.
It's been posted in the chat room several times.
Yeah, but if they're listening to... We're saying that. They must be listening somewhere that it's posted. But just for people's iterations, if you can make donations, please visit justgiving.com/teams/TrekMatePodathon. And you'll be able to find us there. And you can choose which charity that you would like to donate to. Either Amnesty International or the Watford General Hospital Special Care Baby Unit. So remember, that's why we're here, guys. That's why we're here, as well as to do loads of talking Trek.
And the more you donate, the bigger chance you've got of winning a prize.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. If you donate the largest amount, by the time that we hit 8 o'clock tomorrow night, you would have won yourself a brand new iPad. Kindly donated by our very kind Mr. Drinkwater.
Wow, you're not sparing the luxuries this time.
No, well, it's a very good cause.
Absolutely not.
But as I was saying to Wayne earlier and Mark earlier, the same as the tractor beam, it'll be here on Tuesday.
Is it coming by Ferengi mail, Paul, by any chance?
Yeah, they had to order it in.
Okay, Captain Harriman.
So,
yes. Okay, should we get on with the episode review? This is a 50-minute episode near enough, so should we...
Before we do this, though, Thomas, you made this yourself. This is incredible.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
He
did that. You did that in Adobe After Effects, I think, did you?
Yes, several different programs, yeah.
Have you sent it to Star Trek London?
I've mentioned them in the tweets, so hopefully.
Well, I'll mention it to Jill when we speak.
We'll mention it to Jill, yeah, because it's fantastic. It's really, really good. Everyone, Tom, you've just posted the link in the chat room. Have a look at this. This is brilliant.
Yeah.
It is really, really great. Okay, should we get on with the episode review then? What I'm going to do, for those of you listening out there in Mixler land, I'm going to drag on the episode, and you should hear it just a little bit quietly in the background. If it's too loud... Or if you can't hear any of it, then just let me know and I'll adjust the volume. So, should we crack on? Is everyone ready to go?
Yeah, and remember, yes.
Do you have your Netflix and DVDs, etc. ready?
Exactly. I got my Blu-ray ready.
Then let's go. Let's do our real-time review of Shore Leave from the first season of the original series. So, here goes.
Let's
go.
Have a countdown, shall we?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Three.
Oh, I've already pressed play.
Pause, quickly. Three, two, one, go.
Engage.
Oh. Make it so.
Okay. Well, this is quite interesting. I've never actually done a real-time review, also live in real-time, on air as well.
No.
This is a real-time review.
Yeah.
It really is. I'll
take it this is a remastered episode, because that picture of the planet looked lovely.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is the remastered one, yeah.
And on American Netflix, they only have the remastered ones.
Do you honestly think Captain Picard would have got away with telling Troy to rub his back?
Captain Picard
didn't have the luxury of commanding a ship in the 60s.
He's very disappointed, yeah. Kirk is.
He might have got away with it, but he would have been in the counselling session shortly afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Now, that yeoman, though, I have to say...
Rand.
Yeah.
No, that's
not Yeoman Rand, it's some other Roman. But she's...
Roman.
A Roman.
Roman. Yeoman. She's a little bit tasty,
isn't she?
Hasn't
got a big nose.
Oh, it is.
Shut up. She's a bit tasty.
She's got some nice red hair.
I wouldn't say no.
I was just going to say, I'm surprised that Spock was the one that actually suggested Shore Leave.
Mm. It's this episode.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was going to ask why this one specifically.
I just chose it randomly.
Random choice.
I was about to say, randomly really does sum this episode up.
Yeah, but I find it such a fun episode.
Yeah, it is. Totally, yeah.
I really enjoy it. So, at the moment...
Can everyone out there in Mixler land hear this okay? Is it just quietly in the background? It's not drowning anything out, is it?
Oh, okay. So, Pal, which is Pal? Hi, Matt. Oh, sorry, I'm just randomly reading people's comments as well at the same time now. Oh, dear. So, but with this episode, it really... It's amazing. It captured my imagination when I first saw it, because it actually reminded me of a Red Dwarf episode. Yes,
where they go to... what's it called? Is it Waxworld or something like that? Where they go? Oh, look, there's the white rabbit. There's the white rabbit.
If I went down to a planet and a rabbit popped out with a jacket on and a... I'd piss myself.
Yeah, but look at McCoy's face.
I first saw this episode when I was like 8 or 9, and that wet rabbit comes out, and I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
But she's very polite, though. Thank you, sir.
I love her accent.
Yeah.
I
had the same face as McCoy when I first saw the episode.
I love how my... Can I just say, though, I love how DeForest Kelly can do, like, the one eyebrow raised higher than the other thing.
Wayne can do that. I've never been able to do that. It makes my face look funny.
I can do that easily. I quite often...
The Spock eyebrow. I can do that, I do love those tricorders, though, because Sulu's there with his little tricorder, and I do love those old-school tricorders.
But he doesn't know how to use it, though.
Is your wife going to be equipped with one at Star Trek London?
She hasn't got one, actually. And in fact, Paul, you've got an old-school tricorder, haven't you?
Yeah.
Could you bring that along? Could my missus borrow it for the Saturday?
I'm sure she could. Just remind me the day before.
Yeah, we'll do. I'll send you a text the day before.
Because otherwise I will forget.
Yeah, you will forget.
Yeah, she may use my tricorder.
Oh, dear. Morning, JD. He's just joined.
Oh, hi, JD.
Yeah, JD's going to be joining us later as well. Obviously, family member and all.
Oh, that's 6:15.
Aussie JD.
So, hello, JD.
Yeah.
Morning.
Yeah. No, and also at some point, Delta Quadrant JD will also be jumping in as well.
Yes, he is. The other JD.
Yeah, so JD's all around.
It's a podcaster's name.
Yeah. We'll have to figure out some way of identifying rather than just... Yankee and Aussie.
Maybe one could be called J Dizzle. Chisel and Dizzle.
Anyway, oh, I am rather taken with this yeoman there.
Yeah,
I hadn't watched this episode in a long time, and I did actually watch it last night just to remind myself. And I don't remember her at all, but you know, Schwing, you know.
Yeah. Then you must be really excited when she gets her dress torn.
Oh, I am. All I want her to do is...
I'm really excited, Matt, because my wife is going to be wearing that dress. So I'm
rather
excited.
Get her stylist on the floor.
Absolutely.
I also want to say this is the first instance ever in Star Trek, being that it's the original series, where it's like the captain needs a vacation. They're too stressed.
He doesn't do anything. He flirts all day.
That's... flirting's hard, Paul.
He's just a randy person who tells people what to do.
Yeah, he needs to take some shore leave so he can flirt some more.
But the thing is, he needs to flirt away from the ship.
Yeah.
Anyway, they found but they found this planet, haven't they, basically, and they said there's no animal life on it at all, which I thought that was rather strange, because you can have plant life, but you would always need animal life to support it. The two are generally symbiotic. Yeah. It has all this advanced plant life, but no animal life, which I thought was odd, but there you go.
I gotta say, though, wherever they went for locale shooting on this episode, it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. It really, really is a lovely place.
And that must have been exciting for them to go outside and shoot on location.
Yeah, because they didn't do an awful lot of that. Or they did shoot on location, but it was polystyrene or styrofoam, as you'd call it, rocks, wasn't it? And that was it. Mm-hmm. That was their location. It was inside a studio set, but that was actually real outdoors. So it must have been good fun for them. I mean, it's a beautiful place. I'm guessing it's in California somewhere, but it's a lovely place.
I want to say, because we're going to have that fight with Finnegan later, it's near the Vasquez Rocks.
Fight me, Jimmy! Fight me, Jimmy! Fight me, Jimmy! He's an irritating twat, isn't he, that black
boy? I know.
Yeah.
Okay, first swear word of the night goes to Mark.
Congratulations, Mark.
Thank you.
You'd fuck it up.
Right, and he's down.
That's it.
Now, the only problem is, the little girl hopped along earlier. Yeah. So this is alien planet. The little girl hopped... wipe that out, because I've just answered it to myself. Sorry. I was going to say she's speaking English with no translator, but... You know.
She's meant
well,
to
the thing is, well, yeah, we find out later in this episode that things pop up that are designed to interact with you. So something about this planet must have scanned that they know English and, you know...
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Did anybody else notice in the water there, you've got the reeds, and they'd painted one of them blue?
Yes. Oh, no, this looks dodgy. The little wok and the little gun appearing under it. Now, you see this guy in the blue uniform?
Yeah.
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 How
does anyone...
his eyebrows?
Yeah, when you look at him, and I saw him last night and hadn't seen this for a long time, I thought Dr. Bashir from Trials and Tribulations. I thought he looked just like him. With that sort of, you know, the way... Can you see that? Can you see that as well?
Well, he's got the comb over hairstyle.
He's got the same comb over sort of Beatles.
Yeah, I can see it now.
That Julian Bashir had. That yeoman is lovely, though, isn't she?
You're just gonna say that every time she pops up on screen.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
And I guess we should give her a name. I do remember her name. I think it's Tanya Barrows. Is her yeoman Barrows?
I was calling her yeoman Hottie.
Let's do the wheelbarrows.
I thought you were going to say something like she's got some nice wheelbarrows.
Well, I don't know. She hasn't been over yet.
Oh, dear.
Oh, come on. That dress is pretty revealing. I mean, you have to...
Now, you know, that dress is for sale on one of the websites for about $300.
Yeah, they're expensive. You know, to get really high quality.
I think one of the Trekkie girls got it brought
from... Yeah, Sam got it as a present, didn't she?
Yeah, her husband bought her the gold, you know, the proper plush dress for about £350. So yeah,
I was going to ask if it was this specific dress you were referring to.
Yes,
like the one she's actually wearing.
Yeah, it's going to be similar to that. So my wife's is going to be... I mean, it's going to be... It's only about £35, so it's fairly cheap, but it's going to be like that. So I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, so it's just another dress. I was wondering if you guys were talking about, like, the actual dress that she wore in this episode was on sale for $300.
Oh, no. Not the actual one.
No, they don't look like rabbits that look like bear footprints.
They're massive,
Paul, are those your crawling footprints?
Do you notice, though, too, that they're going to reuse those footprints later in the Mugatu episode?
Yeah.
So apparently a white rabbit and a Mugatu have the same shape footprints.
Well, why wouldn't they? But that's maybe a big related. Old killer rabbit, isn't it?
Yeah. Like out of the Monty Python, there was a killer rabbit in that.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Monty Python, aren't we going to get, like, a Black Knight in this episode?
We do get a Black Knight, yes, with a plastic face.
Yeah, that would scare me. That sort of thing would really worry
me. Don't care, like, Bannog. He's a killer.
There's an awful lot of running in this episode.
I just don't seem to be doing much. That startled expression. Instead of somebody shouts, and instead of them just running, he just goes, it's sort of like somebody's gone, boo.
Well, it was the 60s. Different kind of acting.
And the girl's running along with her arms flailing. She hasn't got a weapon. What's she going to do? No offense to the girls, because I'm sure you're more than capable to
She'll distract them with her hotness, and then Kirk will shoot them.
Yeah.
Shoot with his weapon. No, I haven't got one of these in my collection. Just shoot him off this revolver. Yeah.
But honestly, he didn't instantly turn around and say, how has this planet with no life got a gun?
Yeah.
And McCoy's looking down.
Not only a gun, an Earth gun.
Yeah.
She seems very taken aback by the size of his weapon.
I think she's puffed out from running, Paul.
She is a little puffed out, though. This old yeoman hottie.
Maybe look, her hair's all a mess. She's got shag hair.
Well, yeah, because...
There's the blue plant.
Oh, yes.
And there's Paul's crawling footprints.
Planet.
For Yeoman Hottie, though, this is probably the most exercise that she's gotten, because, you know, all she does all day is bring Kirk coffee and rub his back.
Yeah.
And other things behind the scenes.
Yeah. I could give her some exercise, I'm telling you that, yeah.
I think Kirk takes care of that himself.
Yeah, I bet she's got ears like cup handles where he hangs on.
Hey, look, someone's trying to get a decent aerial signal.
I know, it's funny that you see those little aerials pop up.
Did you see, like, the Sulu has his hand on her ass?
Yeah.
Did you see that? I mean, Sulu walks away with
that.
Sulu walks away with the yeoman and he has his hand on her behind.
Good boy.
I totally missed that. You sly dog.
Oh my god!
That TV area, that's really nasty.
It's a TV antenna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the budget. You know, they didn't have much for props and stuff, did they say?
No, but like I said, I think that the on-location shooting helps this episode feel more grand than your run-of-the-mill TOS. I mean,
had it been shot
in a cave with, you know, styrofoam rocks, it would have been a lot worse than it is. But the actual outdoor shooting, and there were a few episodes where they did this, but it does add to it, I think. You know, it does give it that little real effect, actually being in a real forest with a real river and real trees.
But see, when you get them on TOS, it's a thing to behold, because TOS had no money when they were shooting this. So when they shoot on location, it's something amazing.
Yeah.
They do seem very relaxed, though, so they're obviously getting what they want to be doing.
Well, it's a pleasant place. I mean, nothing dangerous has happened yet.
No, all peaceful and calm.
6 foot rabbit.
No, I have to say, Tom, thanks for pimping the podathon in this week's Stack 8.
No problem. I'm sorry.
There's Finnegan.
Yeah.
Oh, Finnegan. Fight me, Jimmy. Fight me, Jimmy.
Who is Finnegan? Is there a history there? Or
They were supposedly at the academy together.
Yeah, he was always winding him up and, you know.
The Irish.
Yes, I guess so. Yes, he is. Yeah.
He hit him. How rude!
You never know. Cumberbatch could be playing Finnegan.
Oh no, please no! Fight me, Jimmy. Yeah. No.
I don't know what it is, but this guy just has an imminently punchable face.
Yeah,
the thing I don't understand.
Just got one of those faces you just want to smack.
Why doesn't he just shoot him? He's got a phaser.
Because that's not how Kirk rolls. Kirk would. He needs to give them the double-fisted punch.
He wants to do the old double fist, and then the thing where he rolls onto his back and flips him over with his leg. Yeah.
In fact, look at that, though. He decided he didn't want to fight him. He just wanted to give him a hug.
That's the thing, by the way. I just wanted to clarify. The technical term is a double axe handle.
A double axe handle, that's
yeah.
it.
Oh, rape.
I just wonder, like, with this guy who plays Finnegan, did they just give him a line of coke each scene and say, hey, here, go?
Yeah.
And he's there with a £20 note.
Oh, dude.
Oh, look.
What's happened here, then? Oh.
See, oh, her dress has been ripped. There you go.
There's Ensign Hottie. Or Yeoman Hottie,
with ripped dress. Don't hold it up, dear. Just look after yourself.
Shut that up with your crying and give me a report.
And take down
that might
dress.
Be my wife's dress at the end of Star Trek London.
And then you'll give it to Paul to wear like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we are starting thinking what you're doing in your shared room at night.
Yeah, no, we are sharing a bed.
Paul's just got to face the wall.
What, bend over?
That's it, just don't ask questions. Oh dear.
She is very attractive.
Yeah.
Although she's probably 70 now.
Definitely.
She'd be old enough to be my grandmother.
Just because they're 70 doesn't mean that they're still attractive for an older woman. I mean, I saw, when I went to Las Vegas, I saw the yeoman that... I don't know if you guys remember the episode The Apple, but that yeoman that was flirting with Chekhov down on the planet, she kind of had blonde, long hair and stuff like that. I saw her, she was at Las Vegas, and she still looks good.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, why can't you see that
hit? Yeah, I mean, we've got Arlene Martel is there, and I haven't actually looked at what she looks like now, but when she played T'Pring in TOS, she was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering what she looks like now. Might have to have a quick look and see what she looks like now.
Now they've gone from a really nice sort of wooded area and lakes and everything, sort of a deserty thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is the famous Vasquez Rocks, or close to it.
Yes, it probably is. Ooh, some pretty flowers.
So he rips his head off. That's not very nice. Matches his top, though.
How was Vegas this year then, Matt?
Oh, it was incredible. I still have to do my report, I know, but it's just life has just been so crazy, but it was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, cool. 5 weeks today, it will be Star Trek London.
Your turn.
Yeah,
okay. Our turn.
Yeah, we'll be very drunk at this moment in 5 weeks' time.
So this is Kirk's old flame. Name's Ruth, which just happens to be my mom's name.
That's right, and you'd never seen her before when... Yeah, it was one of his many old flames.
Yeah, I know. His little black book must be massive.
Kirk's a bit of a dog, isn't he? Yeah.
I always found this part of the episode awkward to watch because Ruth just happens to be my mother's name.
You're going, Kirk, no, no.
No, no, don't kiss my mum. You've got all space AIDS all over you. Yeah, you're filthy. I did love, by the way, Matt, I laughed out loud every time you said space monkey on the Delta Quadrant this week. I loved that. Space monkey.
I had nothing better to call it.
What's a space monkey?
Oh,
we were
just,
doing the episode of Voyager where Janeway and Chakotay are stranded on the planet and they run into the space monkey.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah.
When they build a shed like house.
Yes.
I enjoyed that one.
I didn't mind that one. JD, JD's the one that didn't like it.
No, that's the thing. I'll be honest. I've been quite busy the last like 5 days or so I haven't listened to too many podcasts. But, I'm looking forward to listening to that, because I actually really liked it. I just wanted them to get on with it.
Yeah, and they did.
Yeah.
Ages.
No, I meant get it together.
That's what I meant. Like, getting it on, getting jiggy with it, you know, hubba bubba.
Well, you know why they didn't, did you, right?
Because we were watching.
Yeah, because Kate Mulgrew didn't want it to happen, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, is that right? Oh, I'll tell you what.
Robert Beltran.
You know, I was going to say, Robert Beltran must have been gutted because it would have gave him so much more screen time.
Well, the thing is, too, yeah, that would have given him more screen time, and I know we should get back to this episode, but I'll just say that I talked about this on the review that Kate Mulgrew didn't want it because she would thought that, you know, because she was trying to attract the male audiences that watch Star Trek, that if they saw her in a relationship, they couldn't respect her as a figure of authority. And I said on the episode, I would have argued the opposite. I mean, I think I would have respected her more, having to balance a relationship with leading a crew.
The only thing I would have said, the only thing I would have said is, personally for me, if it had kicked off into a full relationship that early, I would have felt that she didn't actually feel that strongly about Mark.
Right.
So
She did love me. That's true. So, I mean, we have a thing. You know, it was just wasn't going to work. Long distance relationship. You know,
you've been
400
left
years in the future.
Yeah. But then you kind of like left her for dead and got married. So once she finds that out, I would have thought that it should have blossomed then.
Yeah.
I would have figured that it probably would have. I would have liked to have seen them do a natural, progressive sort of relationship. But it just sort of
Kirk's just got turned down again.
Thank you, Paul, for bringing me back to TOS, because I let us on a bad tangent.
Spock,
well,
what's on Spock's scanner?
I do love Spock's scanner.
You've seen that YouTube video, haven't you? What's in Spock's scanner? It's absolutely fantastic. If anyone hasn't seen that who's listening, just go onto YouTube and search for What's in Spock's scanner. It's absolutely fantastic. I think there's three videos there, isn't there?
Yeah, that's absolutely brilliant. That's so funny.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder if Spock's like scanning for life forms with a scanner.
Yeah.
Life forms.
Oh, music.
I love how like each episode must have at least three close-ups of Shatner.
Yeah. That's in his contract.
Yeah. Also like the way they would focus the light just on the eyes.
Oh yes, the Kirk lighting
strip.
Is what I call it.
Yeah, the Kirk lighting.
I did actually. I like that though.
I love that they if you notice, they brought it back for scenes in 2009.
Yeah.
Yes. There's Ensign Hottie.
Yep.
Still holding up the dress.
No, why isn't McCoy taking advantage of that ripped uniform?
Because McCoy is a nice Southern gentleman.
Yeah, but look at his. No wonder he's grinning. He hasn't offered to tie our thing up or anything, has he?
She talks soon about, doesn't she, about having the princess dress, and then it's there.
Yeah, she just did. So she's about to, I think, find it.
Yeah.
This is where we find out where his nickname of Bones came from.
There you go.
There it is.
Is that a phase
you
when you're probably just happy to see me?
Actually, it's curly.
By the way, McCoy has what I consider the greatest line in this episode. And I'll tell you when it is. I think you can guess, though.
Yeah.
It does make me wonder where they were filming this, because like, the amount of like tropical plants that they've got. Mm,
I think it's probably filmed outdoors, but they've just chucked a few little extras around, haven't they?
Yeah,
because like with the trees that are behind McCoy, it's two very different sort of
types of wildlife.
Yeah.
I wonder if they nicked the plans from the Star Trek office. You never know. Looks like a plant pot. Yeah.
Just out of Paramount's.
Yes.
Saying that, we did have quite a few similar plants in our office when I worked in the call centre.
Right here is my favourite line from McCoy.
Oh.
Okay.
When I peek, it's in the line of duty.
I'm a doctor. Yeah. I do like DeForest Kelly. I thought he was fantastic.
Oh, he's amazing.
Oh.
And I was, like, speaking of DeForest Kelly, I thought Carl Urban really did him proud in the new movie.
Oh, yeah, weren't they so much alike?
I did like him. He seemed a lot more, but he was a younger man. He seemed a lot more angry than I remember.
He did, but I think he, you know what I mean? I think he did.
He was a younger man, so.
I think he did the memory of DeForest Kelly very proudly.
Yes, I do. I do too.
Because you have to figure he was kind of at a disadvantage because, you know, he couldn't, all the other people could talk to their former, you know, selves, so to speak. I mean, Quinto got to spend a lot of time with
Tiger.
With
yeah,
where? Nimoy.
He's with
that girl there. He's giving her a hug, and all of a sudden, a tiger's appeared. What was going through his head?
Some Delilah, maybe?
With your.
he was thinking that this chick must be a tiger in the bedroom.
Yes, easy tiger.
Yeah.
I am tiger. Nice dress.
I mean, this episode kind of reminds me a little bit of Where No One Has Gone Before, where they keep thinking of something and then it appears.
Yes. Yeah, I thought that as well when I watched this last night.
With this sort of planet, you'd think there'd be instructions on beamed... Oh. Yeah, that doesn't do it for me at all.
What, the dress?
Yeah.
I've done it with McCoy.
Yeah, exactly.
How happy that face was.
The poor old Spock.
Smiles and fades out.
Spock's checking his Facebook.
I love that. I love Kirk's line to him. He's like, hey, Spock, you're the science officer. I want this figured out. It's like, come on. We should have this figured out already.
That is
what are you doing?
Got to be Vasquez Rocks.
Yeah, it is.
Somebody's just put on the message thing. It is filmed near Vasquez Rocks, Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's definitely got to be.
MC Clark.
There's no doubt about it.
Very picturesque.
Well, then I need to go there because it's a very beautiful locale. But this
you're
is
nearby,
all
aren't you?
Well, kind of. I mean, I'm in the next state over.
Oh, I don't suppose that's as close as Watford to Hemel, is it?
No, I mean...
Their states are pretty much the size of our country.
Here to Los Angeles is a 8 or 9 hour drive.
Yeah. So
we can get to
it's literally. Yeah, we can get to the other end of the country in that time, yeah. Look at that, there's a samurai just popping out there. There you go, just pops out of the ground.
Oh great, his phaser doesn't work.
It's a rubbish samurai, I can tell you that.
Oh dear.
Yep, I just wanted to see it. I went onto Memory Alpha and it is indeed the Vasquez Rocks.
Yeah. Why would Sulu summon a samurai?
Maybe he was thinking of his past heritage.
You know, because his
Japanese
brain to come alive.
If he was a samurai, he could have chatted up that hot yeoman.
Unless he wanted to chat up the samurai.
Yeah, it could be. Play with his sword.
I just love like the 60s implication of Sulu's Asian, so clearly he must be thinking of Asian related things at all times.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Next thing, he was born in manga robot running around the corner.
Yeah, exactly. But he was born in San Francisco. I remember him saying that in a movie. I think it's
how fitting.
Before.
And all the ladies are looking for dresses and things like that.
Yeah, they're thinking of flowers and little puppy dogs.
That fascinates me. There, right? Spock's beaming down, and Sulu turns around and says, someone's beaming down from the bridge.
You could blatantly tell it was Spock.
Yeah, but no, how...
Yeah.
From a mile off.
Yeah, but how would Sulu know, oh, they're beaming down from the bridge?
I have no idea.
He's a samurai.
Well, maybe because we learn later in Next Gen that when you beam from somewhere other than the transport room, that's called a site-to-site transport, and supposedly those are much harder to do.
And that's why it took extra long for Spock to rematerialize. Yeah.
So yeah, if it's hard to do in Next Gen era, it must be nearly impossible in TOS.
Yeah. Scotty must have put in extra hours in engineering.
McCoy's like, stand against the tree. I'll protect you. Yeah. Is he chewing a bit of grass?
Pin him up against.
Well, yeah,
that
he's meant
tree.
To be like.
I mean, I'd probably do the same as well, to be honest.
What sort of hippie?
No, southern. Like that's a very southern
tiger
thing
again.
To be chewing on a bit of grass.
Don't you love the Spore episode where he gets sprayed and then he turns real southern?
Yes. He has the mint julep.
He's sipping the mint juleps and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, here comes the knight.
Yep.
I am the Black Knight. 'Tis but a flesh wound.
I know. Yeah. What are you going to do, bleed on me?
Yeah, your arm's off. No, it isn't. I'll be okay.
It came from straight from Madame Tussauds.
Oh, bite your bloody ankles off.
Yes. Come on, you yellow.
Yeah. I love that scene in that movie.
I know, it's fantastic. I love
it. The thing is why people aren't going, run.
Run away. Night
run away.
Big stick.
Run away, run away.
Yeah, but the thing is...
The thing is, you see Kirk dying, but you don't see the actual staff or the actual person there.
Yeah.
Why didn't you stand there?
Yeah, but the thing is, we know why. This has been established in Space Seed. McCoy has balls of steel.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. Someone's holding a knife to his neck. He's like, okay, then, get this started.
As McCoy can't do it, I'll do it. He's dead, Jim.
Oh, dear. Spock almost showing a sign of emotion there.
Yeah. Yes.
That's one of the things we actually, you know, Alex and I enjoyed about watching Where No Man Has Gone Before, because Spock is not quite Spock yet. He's emoting all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also just that you was grateful that you wasn't watching season 3.
Yeah.
Not all of season 3 is horrible.
No, it does have a few good episodes. However, there are about 18 awful ones to the...
Yes, I mean, there's quite a lot of cack, as you would say. But, you know, there's stuff like Enterprise Incident and Day of the Dove. And I even like Tholian Web. I like that one a lot.
Yeah,
I like that one too. That's next up on supplemental for TOS.
Oh, really?
So we didn't have a supplemental this week, and we won't have one next week, because obviously we've been getting ready for the Podathon, but that's our next episode up. I like that one, too. I like
JD just got on the forum that he wants He's Dead Jim on his gravestone.
Yeah, that was something I saw.
So do I.
I saw that as something I saw, I think it was on Trekkies too, and there was a woman, the Australian woman, actually, JD, who said she wants that on her gravestone. She's Dead Jim. I do as well. I think it'd be really cool just to have the Starfleet logo, He's Dead Jim.
Yeah.
And people would just see that and go, yep, that's Mark. Yep, it would just be funny.
Not only that, but you can, you know, of course, I'll put on my gravestone something like, you know, of all the souls that I've encountered, his was the most human.
Yes. Yeah, that'd be a nice touch.
Yep, they just found out it's not human skin tissue.
Today was a good day to die.
Yeah.
You know what this reminds me of a little bit is, have you guys ever seen the movie Westworld?
Yes.
Great. That's movie. What this reminds me of.
Yes, it is very Westworld, isn't it? Yeah.
I love that movie, by the way.
That's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic movie. We haven't actually talked a lot about this episode, have we? But never mind.
No, we have.
Hopefully everyone's watching along.
Oh,
never mind.
You always have to have a poke.
This episode is a little is a weird one to try to talk about, because this is very much it's still Star Trek in a sense, but it's very atypical, especially for this first season.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Now they've just discovered that the night is like rubber, and this is where it takes me back to the Red Dwarf episode. Because if anyone did see that, it's bloody fantastic. They created an entire wax world of famous, historical people and fictional characters.
No, and I haven't seen that episode, so I'll go and watch it.
Oh, have you not? You need to. Yeah. Red Dwarf, it's only like 6 episodes a season.
I watched 3 today on Dave, so...
Oh, no, you've got to, because Lister and... can't get captured, and they are captured by like the bad guys because there's a war going on Westworld, and because Rimmer decides to take advantage of the situation and rules the bad guys, and there's this one brilliant scene in the prison where Lissa and Kat are trying to figure out a way out, and then they hear the drum call of like something going on, so Lissa looks out the window and sees, he's like, oh, there's a fire in line, they're bringing someone out. he's got his head in a cupboard. He's like, it's Winnie the Pooh.
He's like,
they're asking.
He's refusing the blindfold.
Yes.
Now
so
I'm just thinking.
What we saw in this episode then?
Spock's looking a bit miffed. I think it's because he's missed out on all the fun. He had to spend half the episode up in his ship.
Yeah. But we don't know what he was doing exactly in the ship, was he?
But we don't... And what does Spock exactly do for fun? I mean, this is a big scientific question that they're faced with here, so he's probably having fun.
Oh, no, it's Finnegan again.
Oh, wonderful.
Fight me, Jimmy. Fight me, Jimmy.
Jimmy boy.
Jimmy boy. I just want... You're just so right, Matt. He's just got one of those faces you really want to smack. You just look at it and it's just like, right. He's destined.
I kind of want to see how Chris Pine Kirk would take on Finnegan.
I just hope he give him an almighty smack in the face and then walk off. Because he deserves it.
Well, Chris Pine Kirk loves to fight, so I'm sure he would.
Yeah. He got the crap beaten out of him at the beginning of the film.
He did, but he held his own for quite a while.
Yeah. And now we've got the jigging music.
Don't you love Star Trek's old music?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, they're re-releasing the actual music from season one, aren't they?
They are.
Isn't it from... Is that just
it's
from season
from,
one? Or
no, it's from all
TOS.
It's all of TOS.
It's all of TOS, but the thing is that they reuse a lot of musical cues, so they probably were all created during season one. They just used them throughout the series.
Yeah, that's why. And I'm pretty sure Matt Warwick's listening in the chat room there. And he actually tweeted the link to me. And it's 15 discs, 15 CDs for all the music from TOS, so he's quite excited about that. I'll be covering the music of Star Trek with Matt tomorrow.
Of course, and of course they better release it. How could they not release the famous fight music?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that music. It's great. It's classic.
I've got that on my alarm clock.
The thing I love is that when there's a huge fight scene in Futurama, I don't know if you watch that show, they do a lot of tributes to Star Trek.
Even in the
non-Star Trek episodes, when there's like, I remember there was one episode where there was some huge fight happening and they played the fight music.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's just the quintessential fight music. As soon as you hear that, it's just like, all the geeks. Fight.
Well, yeah, every single door in their apartment in the ship is the... TOS door sound opening
the
doors.
Yes, it is. And they have the red alert sound and all that sort of
stuff. Yeah.
And now, personally, another theme that I really love from the original series is Spock's Vulcan theme. I can't remember, I don't know if you guys remember it, but if you watch a Mock Time, it's like played throughout the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the one you mean. I think we've got that coming up tomorrow, actually.
It's like on the... I think they played it on the guitar. It's that... Dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun.
I know the one you mean. It's great.
Let's all see who can hum the best Trek tune.
This is a bit of a pattern.
We could have filled an hour out with that, Wayne. You missed a trick there.
Well, you know what I could do is, like, I could kick Paul in the scrotum and then he could do the theme song.
Why am I getting kicked?
Oh dear. Because what, you're the one wearing the red dress.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
The red shirt, so to speak.
That's the thing, if you've got your giblets on show, then what do you expect?
Well, I don't know if you want to get into my giblets.
Oh dear.
Oh, I've neglected to mention that, of course, during the fight, Kirk's shirt had to be ripped.
Oh yeah, he has to have the shirt ripped.
Yeah.
That's the thing, it goes without saying.
Which is something that I love that they parody on Galaxy Quest.
Yes,
which
I
was talking to you about the other night, Mark.
Yes,
it's such a brilliant movie.
Yeah, I watched it again today. Actually, I hadn't seen it in a long time. So after chatting, chatting with you the other day, I just put that on because it's just so funny, and it just does take the Mickey out of Trekkies. It's fantastic. I love it.
I still say need to do it like as your April Fool's edition of supplemental.
I think we should probably do that. Actually, I think I did say Christmas, but I think you're right. An April Fool. Maybe we'll do that next April because it's a great movie. I love it, and Sigourney Weaver looks amazing in that movie.
Oh, well, like I said, I'll watch her in anything.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I've really seen anything where I thought, but she was bad in.
No, the movie may not be the best, but she wasn't because of her acting.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. That's the thing. I was so thrilled because when I went and saw Avatar, I didn't have a clue that she was in it.
As well, yeah.
Oh, I knew that she was in it. That was the reason I was wanting to go see it so badly.
Yeah, I didn't have a clue, and then when I saw it, I was so excited. Just because she was fantastic in that.
Yeah.
And even though, spoiler alert, she died, she's coming back for the sequel because in science fiction, you're never really dead.
Oh, no. You're never dead.
Oh, yeah. The sequel's confirmed. It's the highest grossing movie of all time.
Mm. Yeah. That's the thing. They would never turn down making more money.
Yeah.
I liked Avatar. I did.
Yeah, that film was like 10 years in production or something like that plan. Mm.
True.
Yeah.
Just having a look, guys. We haven't had a donation yet this hour. Please.
Oh, give us some money.
Oh. Yeah.
Thank you.
Give us some money.
Yeah, I'm doing it for
some money.
4 hours.
Yeah, exactly. We're all in it together. Let's try and get the kitty up a little bit. At least have a slight increase.
Yeah.
So make sure you head on over.
£330.
Yeah. To justgiving.com/teams/trekmatepodathon, and then you'll
lots
be able
to win.
Yes, exactly. That's the thing. There are multiple prizes that you can win. Actually, at some point, we should start dishing out a few bits.
Yeah. How do you want to dish out your prizes, Paul? You need to work that out.
Well, the night with me, we could probably leave until a little bit later.
yes, definitely. Oh dear! Actually,
yeah, you do need to announce your prizes, Paul. Maybe we'll do that after this episode review's finished. Even though we haven't really talked about the episode, but look at Kirk's shirt there. I mean, he's practically naked at this point.
I know. It's like, why even bother wearing a uniform at all? Yeah, just take it
covered
off.
Covered in soil. Yeah, covered in soil. A little bit of blood at the lips. Yeah.
And there's the tiger.
That's me done.
I'll tell you what. Run times for. The TOS episode.
They're longer.
It's
longer. This is about 50 minutes. Yeah.
Well, the thing is that back then they showed fewer commercials, and the commercials that they show were like really long, so it would be like one commercial a break. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Just seeing the chat room, Adam's just said, "I'm going to buy the night with Paul, and use you as a slave all night, and we'll get you to assault Mark in his sleep." Assault in inverted commas. Yeah. Thanks, Adam.
So, Mark, Paul, how far are you willing to travel?
Right?
For the night with Paul?
As long as they cover my travel costs for the end of the world.
One of the prizes we have, people, is a night with Trekmate Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And have whatever way you wish with him.
That's also
yours.
I was going to say, what if a man ends up winning?
Yeah.
That's fine.
He's up for that.
Can I show you a mistake?
Yeah.
The yeoman's skirt is ripped the opposite way.
Yeah, you're right. I just noticed
it's paired on the left hand side, but
it's
now ripped on the right.
And it's much less torn, too.
So, did she take a sewing kit down to the planet?
I guess, but.
Because I see no pocket.
The thing is, it's much less torn because her left side was really torn. Like, it was falling off, practically.
Maybe she's taking it off and put it on back to front.
She could have done, yeah.
Maybe somebody's had
You're right.
Yeah, that would be me, yeah.
Oh, no,
I love that. Don't talk. Don't breathe. Don't speak. You're at attention.
Yeah, which way does this go back on afterwards?
Oh, dear.
By the way, so I can imagine if there was a real amusement park planet where things could be created at whim, Paul would go there and create a real replica of Chase Masterson.
He wouldn't even have to think twice.
No, Paul would make a whole planet of Chase Masterson.
Yeah, no.
Well, wouldn't we all?
Yeah. And we'll all be invited. I hope.
As long as I get an interview, I don't mind.
Actually, just wondering, you guys in the chat room, how many people are watching the episode along with us? Just out of curiosity.
Just wondering, because you'll actually get a clue what the episode's about, because we haven't actually talked about it.
Yeah.
Very much, have we?
Well, you know, I just mentioned we are at the part where we're finding out what's the big story.
And yeah, the big story is, obviously, it's...
it's an amusement park planet. So,
it's an amusement park planet,
which one do you want, the yellow or the pink?
It's like a planet version of the holodeck.
Yeah.
You can go here and create anything.
The thing is, though, it's a planet where they can create anything, and yet everything's tried to kill them. Yeah. There hasn't been one naked person. Yeah.
It's because they haven't been thinking the right things, Paul. That's why you need to go there.
Yeah. I'll destroy it.
Yeoman's becoming jealous.
The whole planet will
see. There's McCoy. McCoy thought of some women.
Yeah.
He's got the right idea.
Well, McCoy's enjoying himself.
Look at her. Look at her face. Yeah. Look at Yeoman. Yeoman Hardy's not pleased.
No, she's extremely jealous. Oh, Spock's getting some now.
Spock's getting some.
Yeah.
Good boy.
Yeah. He's going to use that human sign, now.
How do you explain them?
See, he was thinking about little Cabaret and Rigel, too.
Yeah. And because Spock's half, you mean he doesn't have to wait every 7 years, probably?
No,
I have a theory that the Vulcans can do it whenever they want to. They just have to do it every 7 years.
So it's like lots of mundane stuff followed by one really intense session.
Right. So pretty much. Well, not mundane. You never know. I mean, really intense session. I just figured they can have sex whenever they want to. They just have to do it. Must happen at least every 7 years. I just figured they can have sex whenever they want to. They just have to do it. Must happen at least every 7 years.
I just figured they would like to kiss your neck. Why? It's a logical thing to do.
Oh, come on. But you remember Enterprise. Chip and T'Pol got some hot action. But you remember Enterprise. Chip and T'Pol got some hot action. Not just that. There was that episode where she stripped down for him in season 3.
Yeah, just dropped her clothes.
Not just that. There was that episode where she stripped down for him, which was season 3.
Yeah, just
which was not Jolene Blaylock, by the way.
No, she never had bad echo.
Which was not Jolene Blaylock, by the way.
Alright, you're in, Mark. Apparently, there's a lot of echo.
That's fine, I haven't got anything else. Is everything in?
Alright, you're in, Mark. Apparently, there's a lot of echo. That's fine, I haven't got anything.
I've only got Skype and Power DVD open, that's all.
I mean, and my Netflix is on mute. I've been watching it with subtitles.
Yeah, no one's actually got the show playing out in their speakers, so I don't know why. Mrs. says there's about 7 voices going on. Yeah, we are trying to listen to you. Don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fixed.
Yeah. I don't know what that was.
Strange. That's the thing. We never changed that at all.
You'll need to repeat the last 5 minutes. Marest, the last 5 minutes, how hot the pole is.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it was a little odd. It was a little odd. So sorry about that. Okay.
Here we go out with the classic "Let's laugh at Spock" line.
Oh yeah, the little ha 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 ha, and off the warp.
And you know that's where that meme comes from. Have you ever seen that Kirk picture of like, I can't hear you because I'm over how awesome I am?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I've seen that the demotivational poster. Yes.
Yeah.
I can't hear you because I'm too awesome. Yes.
Yeah. That's where that comes from. Is that still at the end?
And they always seem to end with the Orion slave girl at the end as well.
In the first season, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
In season two, we end with Baylock.
So, guys, that is the end of the episode. So, shall we give it a quick review of what we saw?
What we saw was a 60s drug trip, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So,
basically, so, yes. Okay, then. But, if you had to mark it out of 10 pips, as we do on Trek, mate.
I'll give it a 7. It's a fun, good time. High rewatchability factor.
I'd give it a 7 as well. It's a little bit silly, but good fun.
Yeah. No, and I personally... Okay, I'm just going to join the crowd. Yeah, it is a 7 episode. It's really fun, very light-hearted. Obviously, there's never character progression in TOS, so that doesn't bother me.
No, and the episode itself is called Shore Leave, so that implies, we're taking a little fun vacation, and that's what this episode is.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. So, yeah, what about yourself, Paul? Let's go with you first.
It was all right. It wasn't one of my favourites. I'm going to give it a 4.
Paul's always harsh.
I always score lower.
Paul is harsh.
Especially when it comes to TOS.
Yeah, sorry.
and what about yourself, Tom?
I'm joining everyone else with a 7.
Yeah. Cool.
No. Paul, you're harsh toward TOS except for Star Trek V. What's up with that?
What did I score Star Trek V?
Higher than what it should have been, from my recollection.
Yes. You actually tried defending it.
I think it was higher than the actual ratings that the critics rated it.
You were far too forgiving, Paul.
I must have had a drink then, that's all I can say.
No, this is way before drunk, Paul.
Oh. See what this podcast has done to me?
We might have to actually...
See, that's the problem, Wayne. He didn't have enough alcohol that time.
That's it. We might have to get Paul to do a drunken rewatch and retcon his score.
Well, you could do a brace for impact on it.
Sounds like a plan.
Brace for impact usually lasts 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, but you can get them to watch it and then talk about it after.
All right, then. No worries.
No worries.
I had to drink alcohol to watch Star Trek V, so...
That much is true. So that is the end of our real-time review for Shore Leave. So thank you so much. I don't know if you wanted to stick about and join us as we speak to Paul and Adam and we discuss Star Trek London.
No, we got Michael on next. We got Paul and Adam on. Yeah. Anyone can jump on whatever time they want, but we're going to talk about Star Trek London in a minute, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to... Go for it.
I'd probably have to get going because we're going to dinner early, but I'll be back during the Technologic and Ready Room hours.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll speak to you later, Matt. Thanks for jumping on.
Sorry, Tom?
I think I'm forced to listen to the Ready Room Hour.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's the thing. You're under strict orders from the higher powers.
Yeah, the CEO. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well,
okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
Right,
for...
we'll be back. Yeah, thanks for joining us, everyone. We're going to have a brief musical interlude, and then we'll be back with our Star Trek London chat.
And I'll see you guys later.
Yeah, see you, Matt.
See you soon.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing, Paul. I'm nipping off to the toilet, so we'll have a quick musical interlude. So let's listen to this.
Okay.
And now, from the west coast of the United States of America, in the studios of Boyer Multimedia, the founder and creator of StarTrekParodies.com, musician and voiceover artist, Rick Moyer.
Hey, everybody. What's up? Wayne, thanks for inviting me to be on the Podathon. I thought it'd be fun to go through the process of what I do to create a parody song. Now, I don't know if if you're familiar with my site, but it's StarTrekParodies.com. I've done like over 50 parody songs of Star Trek music. And what I do is I take popular music and then I put Star Trek lyrics to it and then I sing it and try to – it's kind of like Weird Al, but in the Star Trek realm. So today, what we're going to do for this 24-hour podathon is we're going to – I'm going to show you how I start from the very beginning and go through and research what I'm going to do. So the first thing I do is I get on the internet, obviously, and I'll go to YouTube – and I'll just research the song that I'm going to do. So the song I'm going to be parodying is Party Rock by, what are they called? LMFAO or something like that. And the Party Rock Anthem. And so what I'm going to do is I do a little research now and I'll listen to them and see what it's going to be like. This song is, oh, that was just an ad. This song is, been watched 481 million times. So it's pretty popular. So in order to do the parody song, it's going to have to sound pretty close to the original or it won't be funny. And that's the whole idea about parody songs. You have to be simplistic, but you have to sound like the actual thing. Enough that your mind is suspended for a moment and you start singing along, but then all of a sudden you get these Star Trek lyrics and it's a lot of fun. So right now I'm watching the video and I'll watch this a few times today as I'm working on the song and then listen to the song a few times. Isn't that funny? And then, of course, you know, I won't dance around the studio, but once in a while, maybe. Just joking. There we go. Now, I'll listen to the song for a while, and then I'm going to have to write lyrics to it. And the lyrics go... Party Spock is on the ship tonight. Everybody have a logical time. And he's going to make you... use your mind. He just wants to quote stats. So now this is the part I gotta write. Oh boy. I hate to say this, even though it's really catchy, it's really quite a horrible song. I know it's real catchy, everybody loves it. Okay, so that's what I'm going to do is I'm going to sign off for right now. I'm going to do a little more research, and then we'll come back and I'm going to search for, I'll either make the track myself or find a karaoke track that I can use, and we'll start putting the song together. So that's what we're going to do. So thanks, Wayne. Thanks, everybody that's on the Trekmate Podathon. You guys are awesome. Keep up the good work, and I'll see you in a little bit.
I'm getting something on the distress channel.
Make it so. Make it so. Make it so. Make it so.